Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everyone. I am Darren Karp, and I am here with my good buddy, John Thrasher. John, you look handsome.
Thank you, Darren. I'm noticing that you look even more beautiful than normal. Why? I wonder why that would be.
I thought you were going to say more handsome, and I was like, that's fair.
That too.
I feel like Bea Arthur when you call it. Like, Bea Arthur is like a handsome woman.
She totally, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
But for everyone out there who hasn't been paying attention or wasn't on our Instagram Live, and isn't on our Patreon to see these lovely videos, John Thrasher and I are in the
person!
Same room together.
Yay!
So this is the first time since March 2020?
March, I looked it up, March 4th, 2020. by the way, if our audio is a little bit thrown, like you guys are just gonna have to deal with it. I forgot my microphone, it's a whole thing. But Darren and I are sitting right here in front of each other. March 4th, 2020. By the way, that was a dog.
We have to get through the dogs.
We'll get to it in a second.
I know we have to get through the case, so we'll cover all about my dogs on NMR. So
that's
listen
true.
To NMR,
yeah.
For sure. But if you hear barking, it's not that's John right. or me, shockingly.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we are together here. Oh, I think the dog. Oh, a bark! Okay, we love it!
I know, you want to make your presence known. He's very happy.
I love that, yes.
Okay.
Before the show started, Darren was like, if he barks a lot, we'll just like put him in the other room. I'm like, no, let him bark. It's fine. All right. Are you done?
He might be done. If we get more, look, they can't be
without me. They can't be by themselves.
But anyway.
Yes. So, March 4th, 2020.
Wow.
I was still at Oxygen. We were doing Martinis and Murder.
I was leaving for LA that day. I went to LA because I went to go record.
Oh, that's right.
I went to go shoot something in Los Angeles that day because I saw our good friend Christine.
Yes.
The following day with Darren Goldberg, our other good friend.
Oh, okay. So
LA.
March 4th was, I think according to my photos, because you know, I look.
It's a Wednesday.
Was a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And was that the same day we went to Sirius XM and did Jenny McCarthy and Michelle Collins?
I think it was.
Yes, that's what I thought. So that was, I looked it up, Darren. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do Price is Right. How many days ago do you think that was without looking it up?
Okay. How many days ago was March 4th, 2020?
2020 from today. By the way, guys, we're just
September 9th.
Closest without going over, Price is Right.
I
want to
say it's been 512.
You would be brought up on stage. Come on down, because it was 550.
Stop.
Very close.
That's not bad guessing.
I know, but think about, that's the last time I saw you.
It's crazy.
550
We don't FaceTime because video was just too hard eventually. I mean, we've Zoomed. I mean, I've seen you on Zoom for other projects and stuff.
But for the show,
yeah,
we kind of like keeping it not face-to-face because sometimes the audio cues or the visual cues.
Zoom takes up so much internet that it's like, I don't want to ever mess up my thing. But anyway, I am so excited. I'm with my three men right now.
I know, you got two puppies. Yeah, what's going on with the dogs? What's happening?
I'm living.
I show up at Darren's house. She has a whole new apartment, a 94-inch television, and two dogs. I'm like, what's going on here?
Can we? I think we should save it for NMR.
Yeah, that's true.
So we should really recap everything that you have experienced in the first 20 minutes of being here.
Right.
But I will say, because John and I are here today, John and I are actually drinking. Now, if you've been listening to the show or were a fan of Martinis and Murder, when we had a bartender and got to vary our choices.
That's right.
When we went into COVID, the choices became our own.
That's
and
right.
And John's variants of his choices were not, I would say, the most varied. They weren't the most flexible of choices.
No, they weren't.
But John texted me today and he was like, going to the liquor store, like a badass. Right. He's like, going to the liquor store, what do you want? And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, whatever. Like, you get or whatever. And I have liquor here. And I was like, I have wine, whatever. Mm-hmm. John brings in three little, like, bar minis. Nips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Minis or nips. Captain Morgan, like we're in college again. And then two Jack Daniels, again, like we're in college.
It's
and then
fine.
Like a little champagne, which we'll enjoy at NMR. But today, yeah. John and I are drinking not Jack and Coke, but Jack and Diet Coke.
Diet
together.
Coke. That's right. Let's so cheers to bitch. That, bitch,
let's
to
even,
that.
Let's do it.
Our first cheers in 550 plus days. Because I was thinking too, like, we'd have to go back and look at the martinis and murder feed. I don't remember the last time we recorded together. I remember we were in that room on a high floor at 30 Rock.
Because we did welcoming squirts.
That's right. Welcoming squirts. That's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the last time we were together in a room recording. Think about how long
that was,
ago
that was. That was that Wednesday because COVID was just about to break out.
Oh, did we record and then did the Jenny Mc... Oh.
I think, or we recorded like right after it or something.
That's right.
It
well,
was crazy.
Do you remember, I think one of the things, I'll save this for NMR too, but I was sick that week. But let me first say, I didn't have any of those major three symptoms.
Yeah.
So
and I
was
would
like,
have been like, no, get away from
yeah,
me
of course.
If you were sick.
And like, I was sick, but like not sick, like coughing and like, you know, I didn't have any of that. I just felt like shit. I remember being at Sirius
so
and being like,
crazy.
Oh my God, I hope
and
we're done.
And you never had it?
So no, not as far as I know. I've never tested positive. I've never felt
bad.
Did you
ever test antibodies or anything?
No, I didn't. Because for so long, even up till I think I got the vaccine, like, antibody tests were kind of hard to get.
No, absolutely.
You know
and they're
mean?
Like expensive.
And they're expensive.
And totally.
So I was like,
at that point.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that was back
like,
in Maryland. So it was like, if I was here and having
I'm
to run
around.
I'm just
curious if like maybe you had it and you don't even know.
I don't
like,
know. There will be a way to find out. I'm sure I just haven't figured that out. But the other thing too is no one in my vicinity, including you, who I was around the entire time that day, got sick at all.
No.
The first person in my world that I knew that got sick was actually Andy. He was the first person.
Well, he was definitely like patient zero in my life.
Yeah,
like,
me too. Yeah.
Tom Hanks was the first famous person.
Right.
When everyone was like, oh my God, this is real because Tom Hanks has it.
That's right.
So
yes.
Tom Hanks was like our temperature check. Like Tom Hanks needs to make sure people know to like that climate change exists.
And
like,
to get your vaccine.
And to get your vaccine.
Comes.
Yeah. But Andy got it on like March 16th, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Well, do you remember at Sirius that day we saw Andy, although he was in his studio.
Yeah, he was in his little booth or whatever. And who knows, like,
who knows
how he was exposed, but
yeah.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Speaking about one of the deadliest killers of 2020, shall we get into this week's
Let's
case?
Get into this week's case in person. It feels so good to get back together with you.
I can't wait to make out with you later.
We're totally going to make out. We're double vaxxed. We're recently negatively tested.
I've got three boys here. It's a wild party.
By the way, the puppy, I'm going to take a picture for Patreon just because this puppy
is
we're
sitting.
So cute.
We're covering our murder case right now.
He's
we're
literally,
really getting into it.
He's literally, yeah, take a cue. Hold on. Oh my God, the cutest picture.
Of course, because he's...
I'll edit around this, but look how cute that is.
I mean...
like, so fucking
you, like,
cute.
You, like, expect that to be posted on Instagram, but...
Anyway, why don't you take us in?
Yes.
By the way, we should say this is not a full-time thing. I did not move back to New York City
yet. Not yet. This is just a little treat.
This is a treat, yeah.
He tried to surprise me, listen to NMR, and
you'll find out why
he couldn't.
But let's get into this week's show.
Stephen Lawrence was born in Greenwich, London, to Jamaican parents who had moved to England in the 60s. Stephen was the oldest of three siblings, a high school athlete, and a good student. I, myself, was a mathlete, pretty much.
A mathlete?
I
what
was
were
very
your sports again? I'm forgetting.
Soccer,
that's
and then
right.
I ran track, and then, like, I was in theater. Theater nerd.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird.
You were a theater nerd?
I was in theater because it was good for public speaking, and I needed something to get on an extracurricular when I wasn't playing soccer.
Right, right, right.
But it was so funny, because yesterday when I was schnubbing the dogs, obviously, because I love to schnub them.
You do.
So I was schluffing them too, and I was schnubbing and schluffing, and I started singing a song from Les Mis, and my friend Liv was over, and she was like, she's like a musical theater.
Was
like,
it I Dreamed a Dream?
No, it was, it was at the end of the day or another day older.
Okay. I know that song. Yeah.
So I started singing it to him, and Liv was like, I did not expect you to know the lyrics perfectly to like another, like at the end of the day on Les Mis. And I was like, no, I was in Les Mis. And she was like, what? She was floored.
Why? I'm floored because why has this never come
because
up before?
Because why am I singing Les Mis to Zico? Why
but
are,
still.
Don't ask those questions.
By the way, shout out to Patrick Hines, who is a true crime obsessed co-host who is obsessed with Broadway. I think he would love to know this about you.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you all?
Wouldn't we all?
But anyway. I know I was in Les Mis. I was in the chorus because I was terrible.
And you were in soccer because you were soccer girly.
I was soccer star. S-O-K-K-E-R-S-T-R. Let's move on. So Stephen Lawrence, that is.
Yeah.
His favorite subjects in school were technology and physics. And in April of 1993, 18-year-old Stephen was preparing for his A-level exams and hoped to one day become an architect. I think A-level exams, I feel like that term isn't used anymore. I feel like it's an AP exam. Maybe that's what kind of that was potentially. Ugh. Like in New York, they have states and like they have states and stuff like that. I don't know what it is in England, but it's probably the equivalent.
Look at you.
Of that.
This is why we love you on the show.
It's conjecture. Yeah. On Friday, April 22nd, 1993, last time John and I saw each other.
That's right.
At around
feels that way.
10:30 p.m. Stephen was at a bus stop in Southeast London with his best friend Dwayne Brooks. Stephen got tired of waiting and walked a little way down the street to see if he could see the bus coming. I do this constantly because I'm the most impatient person in the world.
Me too, yeah.
As if walking around the corner will make the bus come faster. This is not smart. I get that.
Right.
In the direction Stephen walked stood a group of five or six white kids around Stephen's age. And Dwayne called out to Stephen to ask if he could see the bus coming. One of the people from the other group must have heard Dwayne call out because he shouted back, what? N-word, okay? I'm not going to say
that word. Let's not do that word, yeah.
Yes. The group immediately started across the street. Like, even saying it makes me so nervous.
Even seeing it on the thing.
It's so horrible.
I know.
So the group immediately started across the street towards Stephen and Dwayne and literally engulfed Stephen.
Okay.
Like, that was the description, almost verbatim. During the attack, Stephen was stabbed twice. This is all because he went to go to see if the bus was coming.
Right.
Dwayne was frightened and started running in the opposite direction, calling back for Stephen to run and follow him.
Which, fight or flight,
I can't blame Dwayne here because I would be fucking terrified and call for help in any way that I could.
I know. And, you know, this was set in London in the early 90s. And I just think back, you know, I've been in New York now for a couple days. I'm just visiting, by the way, for anyone who's wondering. And, you know, my friend was asking me, he was like, how is New York these days? He's like, I heard it's a little more grungier like it was in the 70s or the 80s.
It's like the murder rate slightly up, and I'm like, it's still one of the safest big cities in the world. Also, subways used to have like graffiti
everywhere.
And everything.
Yeah.
Remind me to tell you an NMR. I'm going to write this down about an incident I actually had on the subway that I feel like New Yorkers are good at. I'm going to write it down.
All right, good. Keep that for NMR, which you guys can hear in the coming days. But there were actually three people at this bus stop who saw the attack, including Joseph Shepard, who knew Stephen. Just as Stephen was pushed down, that's a tough one to say, by the group, a bus arrived, so there's the bus he was looking for.
Jesus.
Which Joseph boarded. He rode the bus directly to Stephen's house, where he informed Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence about the attack.
Remember, it's the 90s. There's not cell phones, so this is kind of the quickest way for him to tell. Can't imagine what that conversation was.
Yeah. And, like, you know, even that, like, it's not like you would jump on a phone and, like, he would probably not even remember the phone number, so it's like, he knew where to go, this guy.
Horrible.
However, although all three eyewitnesses tried to be as helpful as they could to the police, none of them were able to identify Stephen's attackers. They all stated the onslaught was just so sudden and short.
It probably just happens in the blink of an eye.
Of course.
If it's 15 seconds, it's quick.
Yeah.
Because you don't expect it.
All it takes is one stab, you know.
That's right.
Well, after stabbing Stephen, the group of attackers continued down the road away from the bus stop. Dwayne ran across the road, followed by Stephen, who managed to get up and run 130 yards before succumbing to his stab wounds.
Jesus, though.
But that's a long way, by the way. 130 yards, that's like a
football field.
Yeah, and a half almost, right? Like 100.
Well, it's 100 yards, but then you got the 20 on the end. Like, you got
that's
the 10s
right,
on the end,
right.
So it's technically 120, I think.
I said that's right, like I would know that.
You're so butch.
Yeah, I'm so butch. I love, what do you love, the Giants or something?
Yeah, I wouldn't like eye roll at that. We beat the Patriots twice. I'm sure the whole world was not good. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, well, Stephen sustained stab wounds to the chest and arm, both around 5 inches deep.
That's deep.
And both of those cuts had severed arteries, which is never good, which caused him to exsanguinate.
Yeah.
Thank you, Darren, which of course I'm assuming means bleed profusely.
Bleed out, basically.
As he ran to safety, it was likely Stephen that died almost as soon as he collapsed to the street. So very, like, horrible details here as in his last moments, essentially. Dr. Shepard, the pathologist who examined him, commented, quote, It is surprising that he managed to get 130 yards with all the injuries he had, but also the fact that the deep penetrating wound of the right side caused the upper lobe to partially collapse his lung. Okay, imagine having a collapsed lung and then running as far as a football field. I mean,
or
that's
not having a collapsed lung and running. Yeah. Like, that's what's crazy. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but at the same time, I've never been stabbed. But I imagine there's like a lot of adrenaline in that moment too.
Yeah, good
point.
You
probably can do things that feel like preternatural.
That's
or superhuman.
True. Yeah. Dr. Shepherd continued, "It is therefore a testimony to Stephen's physical fitness that he was able to run the distance he did before collapsing." I mean, that's just a heartbreaking detail. Well, at 7:45 the same evening, a young skinhead walked into the local police station claiming to have information about the murder. He gave his real name, but was immediately issued the pseudonym James Grant.
Well, it sounds like he's, you know, a snitch.
I was going to say, he's got some more information. Well, James informed detectives that two brothers, Neil and Jamie Acourt, who referred to themselves as the Krays, were responsible. Now, Krays being...
with a K.
K-R-A-Ys, like this shit Kray. Is a good way to remember them.
Right, but with a K.
But with a K, exactly. The record of James's statement from police reports reads, quote, "Acourts called themselves the Krays. In fact, you can only join their gang if you stab someone. They carry..."
Okay, go ahead. So that could have been an initiation process
exactly.
of some sort.
"They carry knives and weapons most days. David Norris stabbed Stacy Benfield a month ago in order to prove himself." He then went on to say that a young Pakistani boy was murdered last year in Well Hall Road. By the way, there is just a little bit of a siren
outside.
Well,
you know, I live near the hospital.
That's right. Darren lives nearby.
Art imitating life.
That's right. So no need to pull over.
Yeah.
That Peter Thompson, who was serving life, was part of the Acourt gang. That, in fact, one of the Acourts killed his lad.
Killed this lad.
This lad, rather. Yeah. They also stabbed a young lad at Woolwich Town Center called Lee. He had a bag placed over his head and was stabbed in the legs and arms to torture him.
Oh, my God.
End quote. So that's basically, we're reading a sort of police report here that was kind of all over the place. So thank you for sticking with us there. But either way, like, here he is giving all this information about previous murders, it looks like, and torturings, which is...
I knew someone that was stabbed, like, 6 times as a gang initiation. One of my best friends,
Darren, we're learning quite a lot about you today.
Near a gas station in LA years ago, before I was friends with them. But she told me about it, and
she survived, obviously.
Well, he did.
Oh, he did. Sorry.
But it fucking awful.
Of course.
His future wife was there, and just you know, almost died, and just
Can you imagine?
I don't remember. I'll have to ask her. But she told me it was gang initiation, so they must have figured it out somehow.
I don't think
that would have just been conjecture, but it was kind of random to just automatically stab his kid. You know.
Oh my God, horrible. That's terrible. Well, after hearing what James had to say, police realized they were speaking with someone who had extremely close ties with the suspects.
Well, that's good, right? I mean, that might be hopeful, because then we can learn something here. On Saturday, April 23rd, an anonymous letter was left in a telephone box listing the names of possible suspects to the murder. The suspects were Neil and Jamie Acourt, as John said, David Norris, Gary Dobson, and Luke Knight. And by the end of the weekend, police had confirmed that Neil, Jamie, and David all had records of violent behavior.
Mm.
Not surprising.
Not surprising.
On Sunday, April 24th, investigators were able to track down Stacy Benfield and obtain her statement about how he and a friend were attacked in the street by Neil Acourt and David Norris, who stabbed him with a miniature sword.
A miniature sword? Like, really?
Right, that's a knife.
That's called a knife. Thank you, Darren. That's why we keep you on the show.
Right,
that is the kind of expertise.
That's the kind of knowledge that I need to drop for the audience.
Right.
Well, throughout the weekend, the police received at least 6 separate anonymous phone tips about Stephen stabbing by, quote, 2 boys who called themselves the Krays. Okay, so this is kind of adding up here.
Yeah, it is.
Police also received an additional anonymous note naming the Krays as Stephen's killer, left under the windshield wiper of a police car. However, in spite of the mountain of evidence they had amassed against the gang, investigators began surveilling the Krays instead of arresting them on Monday morning. The reason given for not making arrests was that they wanted proof of association. They feared forensic evidence would have been destroyed and considered Dwayne's identification to be weak evidence. Sometimes, at least is what we see in procedural dramas, they do want to get a bigger case. And so they kind of wait for more violence to happen in order to seal the deal.
And not even just in procedural dramas, but other shows we've done. I mean, a lot of evidence and stories we've told over the years.
They
want to
build
similar.
Up over time.
Yeah.
The senior investigating officer, Brian Whedon, later came clean about his real reason for not making arrests immediately, admitting during an inquiry that he didn't know he could arrest simply on reasonable suspicion.
Well, I feel like, I don't know about London. Remember, this is London, the UK. Laws are completely different probably there. So, but it does make sense that in order to maybe want to put somebody away, that you're going to want to build the absolute best possible case. And I'm just thinking, like you were just saying, like, that's imagine like waiting for somebody else to get stabbed. I mean, the mental capacity of like a police officer waiting for that to happen.
Like that has to be horrible. Yeah. But on the flip side, if they get them too early and then the case falls apart, then that person's on the street and they right. can't be tried for
totally.
That again.
Yeah.
So there is kind of a bittersweetness. I think it's a double-edged mm-hmm. sword to an extent. Well, Brian stated, quote, I have never before in any murder case arrested anyone for murder without evidence as opposed to information.
Right.
Which, I mean, you could probably arrest people with information. I don't think that that should be enough. You definitely need evidence.
Yeah.
And when asked an inquiry, do you not find it rather disturbing that it has taken all this time for you to recognize a fairly basic tenet of criminal law? Brian replied, I think it is regrettable.
This is so British, by the way. I think it is regrettable.
I'm going to have a spotty, and I think it's highly regrettable.
I'm going to have a
just grafting off, digger.
Do you not find it rather disturbing
yes,
that it has taken all this
fairly
time?
Fairly basic tenets of criminal law.
By the way, I do think we have pretty good British accents. If anyone's
should
British,
we do this whole show in a British accent?
We should have started that.
Okay,
way,
we should
at
have.
At the very least.
Well, it's always time.
Then people would turn it off. Let's just keep
well,
going.
Well, instead of making arrests, and now I'm like Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah,
like
right.
in Australia.
That's Australian.
Police set up a surveillance team.
Yeah, yeah.
Police set up a surveillance team to watch the A-Courts' house, which proved to be disastrous.
Oh, God.
The photographers who work with the police didn't normally work weekends.
Oh, my God.
So weren't able to set up until 4:15 p.m. on Sunday and missed their opportunity to photograph an unknown man carrying what appeared to be clothes covered in black plastic, which, again, is suspicious. It's sussy.
Definitely
but
sussy.
But not necessarily determining anything.
Definitely that. And you have to remember it's 1993-ish or whatever this was, early 90s. So it's not like everyone had a 12-megapixel iPhone Pro in
right.
their pockets. You know, like,
totally.
You actually had to set up for photography back then.
Right,
which
like
is weird
you needed
to think
a
about.
Tripod.
Yeah, you needed a tripod.
Yeah. Yeah.
You needed an actual camera, not a calculator.
Exactly. Film. You
that's
needed
right.
film.
Yes. Well, on Monday, April 25th, Neil Acourt was photographed taking out a black trash bag. On both occasions, police photographers weren't able to call for backup because they lacked any means of communication.
Good.
I mean, is this
good,
the
good,
biggest
good, good, good.
Problematic... Like, what is going on here?
Like, you also are a police photographer, so you'd think that there would be some type of radio signal or something.
Like, is this the Three Stooges? Like, what is happening?
Right, like, if you call him carrying a severed head, we'd just be like, cell phones don't exist.
Whoopsie, don't have my radio
call
here.
Call him later. Like,
yeah.
Get a mail carrier out here. Like, what's going
yeah,
on?
What is happening on this? I don't like... By the way, when this type of stuff happens, I immediately think there's a scam. Or, like, there's a conspiracy.
Something.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's, like, annoying thing.
Because how can you not?
Right.
Well, on Wednesday, April 27th, police took yet another statement from Maddie Farman, who had witnessed Stephen's attack and had heard about another attack made by the gang on a young black man named Kevin London, which is odd. He lives in London.
Yeah.
Or at least this is happening near and around London. Maddie stated, quote, Dobson threatened Kevin London about 2 days ago with a knife and told him you are next,
Jesus.
End quote. Now, is it a knife or is it a small sword?
We don't
you
really
know what
gang this is, right? This must be a skinhead gang.
I don't know that we know the details about which gang, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
Kevin wasn't contacted until May 26th, and although both he and his girlfriend made statements against the gang, the issue was not pursued. Now, why would that be? The next weekend was a holiday weekend in the UK.
Okay. Well,
okay.
That's
everyone's chilling.
You take a day off. No murders happen on holidays.
Not,
everyone
no,
knows
never.
That's a fact.
Of course. Which many investigators took off, including records. In fact, records show no police activity on Stephen's case whatsoever. Tuesday, May 4th, 1993, Stephen's parents held a press conference to bring attention to their son's murder, because when your son's murdered, you don't take a day off. Let's give them some credit.
Exactly.
And expressed outrage that not enough was being done to catch his killers. And, you know...
It has to be tough to know the killers, or
yeah.
at least, like...
The association.
Feel like you know the killers,
yeah.
and nothing can be done.
Totally. And then, you know, you do have to think... I think back to other shows that we've done in the past about gangs, and there might be a thing here where, like, the police might be reluctant to explore gang activity because of the repercussions that could come through that kind of organized crime.
Well,
you know?
I mean, you know, and someone snitches or someone goes in and then their
someone
family
gets stitches.
Dies. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the same day, police spoke to another informant, Michelle Casserly, who had called with a tip the week before, and she confirmed that a friend of hers had been at the Acorts' house on the night of the murder and that he'd seen the two brothers and Gary Dobson with wet hair.
Interesting detail.
Yeah, definitely. This friend became known as Witness K and was interviewed by police on Sunday, May 9th. Witness K gave a short statement to a police detective on May 17th, which the investigator almost immediately forgot, later stating during the inquest that he had no recollection of even taking this statement.
Like, to some extent, like, I totally relate. Like, I am just so bad when I'm like, hi, I'm Darren, what's your name? And they're like, hi, I'm John. And I'm like, and then like 2 minutes later, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, but that's
name?
Like a casual conversation, not your fucking job.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, especially if my job was to take statements.
Right.
To learn. Or like if I was a teacher and yeah. tried, I had to do that.
Yeah,
then I
no,
would probably
right.
be better at it.
Yeah, you might be better. You might be good at it.
Might
yeah.
be better.
Well, on Thursday, May 6th, Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence had a very high-profile meeting with Nelson Mandela about the lack of motion on their son's case planning an anti-racist march to be held the following weekend.
Nothing like getting press if you get Nelson fucking
But I was
going to
say, Mandela, that is such a huge achievement in and of itself. Well, on Friday, May 7th, 2 weeks after Stephen's murder, police finally began making arrests, although the police chief admitted that the evidence was the same as it had been 48 hours after Stephen's killing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 6:30 a.m., Neil and Jamie Acourt were pulled out of bed and arrested.
Well, listen, I mean, I remember once going on a date with a girl and her first, I think I told you this maybe on Martini's
Bar,
it was like the first date. What she was like, I don't drink. Do you want to come over to my apartment?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm telling Andy where I'm going. Because
yeah, that's
if
right.
something happens,
totally.
Famous people are going to get this shit solved way more
way
than, than us lay people.
Hello, Kim Kardashian.
Exactly. Yeah. So Nelson Mandela is going to make some arrests fucking happen.
Absolutely. Especially when race is involved. Like, who else?
Absolutely.
Who better than Nelson Mandela?
Well, that's true. Well, David Norris went into hiding for several days, but presented himself at a police station on May 10th on the advice of his lawyer and was instructed to say nothing. On June 3rd, Luke Knight was arrested, and several of his weapons, including knives, were seized.
Small swords.
In July, the charges against Neil Acourt and Luke Knight were dropped, as the police believe the evidence against them to be unreliable.
Of course, the police driving by right now.
That is definitely...
If you can hear it in the background.
In my apartment, I apologize.
No, it's okay.
For a whole year, the Crown refused to prosecute the gang, claiming to have had insufficient evidence for a trial.
The Crown, of course, we learned on last week's episode, the British government.
The British court.
Yeah, the British court.
And in 1994, Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence started a private prosecution against Neil, Luke, and Gary. However, a judge ruled that Dwayne's identification evidence was inadmissible, and the three defendants were acquitted.
Oh, wow.
An inquest was conducted about Stephen's death in 1997, in which all five suspects appeared but refused to answer questions.
Oh, my God.
An inquest verdict was returned as an unlawful killing in an unprovoked racist attack by five youths.
Mm.
Kind of reminds me of, like, the Central Park Five. I mean, I know those people ended up being innocent, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The inquest also concluded that the investigation had been, quote, marred by a combination of professional incompetence, institutional racism, and a failure of leadership. Where have we heard that before?
I don't know. What? Am I missing
something?
I mean,
like, yeah, like Black Lives Matter.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
Like,
for sure.
All that shit. Like,
no, but also.
Professional incompetence, institutional racism, and failure of leadership.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's not all. That's not to say, you know, I think. It's not all cops or anything like that, but
no,
I do
yeah,
think it's a
so.
Common thread sometimes that it's certainly
a
professional
lot of people,
incompetence.
And a lot of people have experienced it. And, you know, yeah. I think about the hate crime laws that have been passed over the past several years. This and that's only been recently. Like, this was something the Crown was sort of saying in the early 90s. So it just shows how very different, like, they were, where they were at that time versus where, like, the United States probably
I think to
was.
Some extent, even that's true today. I mean, even if we're both, like, quote-unquote, first world, it's still, you know. Well, police officers on the task force were explicitly named. The task force as a whole was heavily criticized, and a specific recommendation towards ending systematic racism in society at large was recommended. Although, you a specific recommendation towards ending systematic racism in society at large was recommended. Like, okay, but these people can't fucking solve a case that perfect witnesses. So these people are not going to end this thing.
It took Nelson Manfuckingdella to get this thing going.
That's just very politics talk.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, we demand an end to systemic racism. Like, that's great to say, but what the fuck are you going to do about it?
I mean, I don't want to say this is too similar to the George Floyd case, but it has a lot of parallels.
No, I mean.
You know?
and certainly with like a race, certainly sparking
yeah.
a debate about this whole about thing race, and yeah. certainly sparking this whole thing, I think absolutely there's a lot of similarities here.
So the next day, the Daily Mail's front page featured the photos of each of the five suspects, with a headline reading, "Murderers, the Mail accuses these men of killing. If we are wrong, let them sue us," end quote. Now, Darren, you had an oh God in the middle of that.
Well, the Daily Mail is like, you know, to some extent, it's very like Page Six meets National Enquirer right. meets TMZ, where it's just like yeah. these outlandish headlines. You know, the Daily Mail was all over Meghan Markle right. and Piers Morgan and stuff like
a
that.
Slimy,
they're like
slimy, right?
Very slimy-ish.
These are just our opinions, by the way. Nothing.
Just my opinion. I mean, yeah. listen, I think that I could still read TMZ and still think that they're slimy sometimes.
That's fair,
and,
yeah.
And
true.
Those types of things. It has a... It's meant to sell papers. It's not yeah. meant to sell the truth.
It makes you want to be like, oh my God, I must buy this paper right
well,
now.
Well, and I will say, "Murderers, the Mail accuses these men of killing. If we're wrong, let them sue us," like, is a bold statement.
That's a bold one. Yeah, because by the way, that's extremely defamatory.
Yes.
So there's that. Because
if they are wrong, yeah. if they are
they
wrong,
could sue.
Then,
yeah.
well, not only that, like the paper's tarnished.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's like, yeah, we can get into all yeah, that yeah. with Daily Mail, but... Well, in spite of the guilty inquest verdict, criminal charges still had not been brought against any of the five suspects. Another inquiry into the case was opened in 1998, so about a year later, in which all five were ordered to appear and present evidence. However, it wasn't until 2011. I mean, that's now, I'm not good at math, but that's like 11 years later. No.
12, from 1993?
Well, this was 1998 I was talking about. But
from 1998? Okay. Add 2
add
to
two,
11.
13,
there
sorry.
We go.
I, you know, don't make me do math on the podcast.
I was like confused watching you add things, so then I got confused. Totally fine.
It wasn't until 2011 that charges were brought
in. Can you just take a second and look at my boys?
I know. Look at, if you guys
can
could
you,
see Darren's
they're just like little
dogs.
Hot dog hams.
There's one on the ground just laying there
they're
loving.
They're just honey-baked
they
hams.
They are honey-baked hams.
Honey-baked hams. Okay, sorry.
That's all right. Well, 2011, charges were brought against two gang members. Members?
Members.
Two gang members?
I've got two members.
I got two gang
members. I go
members.
Get my members checked every month.
Gary Dobson and David Norris were the people who were charged. The two men stood trial and were found guilty in just 2012. That's not even that long ago.
No. It was how long ago, John?
That was 2021.
There we go.
I forgot what year we're in.
You got it.
David Norris was sentenced to a minimum of 14 years and 3 months for Stephen's murder.
What a specific.
Yeah, I know.
It must have been like a month thing. Like it's like a minimum yeah. of like whatever that comes out to be. 50 months or 100 months or
and
something.
And he may have had other counts part of this yeah. sentencing potentially. Well, he continues to attempt appeals, which so far have been unsuccessful. Gary Dobson was sentenced for a minimum of 15 years and 2 months for Stephen's murder. When he was found guilty, he was already in prison, serving a 5-year sentence for drug dealing. Neil Acourt was never punished for Stephen's murder, although he is currently in prison for drug dealing as well, serving out a 6-year sentence. In 2002, Neil Acourt and David Norris were both served 18-month sentences for a racist attack of an off-duty black police officer. Jamie Acourt's whereabouts is unknown. He's hiding, possibly in Spain, maybe listening to this podcast.
Definitely.
Jamie, if you're out there, give us all your information.
Yeah.
Jamie was also a target of a 2016 Most Wanted campaign over allegations of involvement in a $4 million cannabis ring.
I wish I was part of that ring.
I know, you probably do. By the way, fine, cannabis is not the problem, but when it is technically illegal and there's $4 million...
Well, yeah, and
whole...
also, like, there's a criminal record here on these
yeah,
guys.
For sure.
I'm not saying that proves guilt of this.
No, but it's like, what are they...
But it definitely isn't a good look.
No, not yeah. at all. Well, Luke Knight is the only one of Stephen's alleged attackers who remains totally free and is believed to live roughly 2 miles from where Stephen was killed. So
I wonder about that a little bit. Like, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a suspect that's kind of saying, like, these five men or whatever, why do one get off another?
Yeah.
And granted, I don't think it's funny because I literally just came out of therapy and we were talking about something because she was like, oh, what are you doing the rest of the day? I was like, I'm recording my true crime podcast. And she was like, you know, my husband sat on a murder trial. We were talking about OJ and his recent headline of being like, I don't want to move to LA because I don't want to run into the person that killed Nicole. And we
oh,
were like,
I heard that.
Yeah, because it's you.
Because you
and
might see a
because
mirror.
Because you're going to look in the mirror and it's going to be bad.
Right.
And she was saying that her husband worked on a murder trial. and he had to be sequestered in a hotel for like 2 to 3 months, like in lower Manhattan. And it was, the killing of an NYPD officer. And she was like, obviously it was a high profile case. Like, this is major. And she said, like, afterwards, after the case had done, when he talked about it with her, he was like, we all knew this guy was guilty, but the evidence couldn't prove it. And I said, you know, I said to my therapist, I was like, there's something really great about that because it protects a lot of innocent people.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's also something horrible about that, in which case, like, people get to go, Bill Cosby, people get to go free on technicalities and things like that. And, like, I'm not saying I would have it under any other way, but it's just not a perfect system. And it's really hard to have a perfect system.
And, like, that's something you've said from the very beginning, like, of Martinis and Murder.
It's never been perfect system. Right.
And it's something I learned doing the show, so many shows with you. It's like, yeah, that's a great point. Like, you know,
I'm not sure I want any other system, but it's not a perfect system.
And you think of Lady Justice, right, with the balancing of both sides, and it's like nothing is perfect, but you try to balance it in a society the best way that you can. Yeah,
I think so. And this case is pretty horrible because I think,
from
what they know, to me, reading about this case, it feels like there's a lot more going on in terms of, like, underhandedness and underdealings. First off, usually, depending on, especially in, maybe in Europe and maybe in London, black people are not treated in the same way that a white person. I'd be curious to see if this was five black men killing a white kid.
Yeah, right, right. How that would go over.
And if the witness was white, I wonder how that would have happened.
Yeah.
A lot of good questions, I think, that are going to come out of this, but this clearly isn't a satisfying case to kind of cover. It's just one of those things that unfortunately happen too often.
Yeah, you're really so right about that. We do want to know what you guys think about it, so let us know on social at JThrasher Carpe Darren. You can hit us up on our Facebook group, our Instagram lives.
You can judge the boys' stomachs.
That's
right. And that will signal me, too.
You should have... Here. I think you're going to need a dog for every recording. I just don't see any other way around it.
The funny thing is like, he never sits on my lap when I'm recording, because when I'm in the other room, he's looking out the window and he's constantly barking. I'm like, you can't sit here. Here, he's perfect.
But you're up on, like, what, the seventh floor. What's he barking at? The cars going by?
I think
by?
He just sees things outside.
That he doesn't normally see.
And he wants to bark.
Pigeons, things like that.
But didn't I say they'd be perfect angel boys?
They were perfect. They had a little bark. They wanted to be part of the show
And we shouted them out.
That's true. Shout out to
much
the
like,
kids.
Like mom like sons. You
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. What are their names again? Remind everybody.
Zico and Kai.
And
Kai
Zico's
is
the one in your lap.
Zico is the one in my lap, and he's like a little Pomeranian.
He's so cute.
Hypoallergenic, thank God. And then Kai is my big fatso, which I can call him. He allows me to call him big fatso because he is.
He's like
he's
a poodle.
Little meatball.
Yeah.
And he's a Bichon Frise.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. He's a little. He's meatballing.
Well. Even though they got, oh my God, they're just so cute. We wish
is
you
he
guys,
alive?
We should have done a Facebook Live, honestly, or like a, wait, is he alive? Hello? Okay,
oh
he did
God.
Wake up.
Oh my God, I check on them every, like.
Have you seen those TikToks of like cats that just don't wake up and
you know,
everyone
I,
thinks
like,
they're
I've
dead?
Been there.
Yeah.
Like, with my ex and I with the cat, he would sleep on my lap and he'd be so sad and I'd be like, Woody?
What?
Woody?
Woody?
Woody? And then he'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Stop fucking shouting at me.
Sleep.
And I was like, oh, okay. Act of love.
Well, listen, that's why you would make a great pet dad. You know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Well, let's end on a positive note.
That's right. Why don't you take our first listener shout out?
Not that the boys aren't positive.
The boys got their shout out earlier.
Don't be growling. Oh. Now, me and our Facebook group posted some wedding photos and said, not murder related, NMR, but we did it. Did I listen to mom and dad in the morning while getting ready? You bet.
Oh, we wanted to say thank you, Mia, for that.
Yeah, I wrote congratulations.
Me too.
At least I hope I did. But I believe
you did.
I believe I did. Yeah. Congratulations, you looked beautiful.
She
you
did.
Both look beautiful. I love seeing a little wedding. I love seeing a happy union.
Yeah.
And I like a little NMR sometimes.
Love a little NMR. And then I started thinking, Darren, like, imagine, like, it's your wedding, okay? Your wedding.
Yeah.
Someone's wedding.
Okay, that's a big thing for me to
big
think about.
Big thing to
but
think
okay,
about. But, like, think about, like, maybe I don't mean your wedding, but a wedding, and people are celebrating their wedding by listening to us.
Yeah, like, I can't believe that.
I can't... I honestly thought about this for so long, Mia, because it's such an honor that, like, you know what I mean? You're going to have this moment the rest of your life in your head, and I'm sure video and photos, and, like, our voices are the soundtrack to that. That is truly such an honor.
It's always
thank
just
you.
Surprising. I agree, and it's so flattering, but it's also sometimes so surprising that, like, people... care.
I know.
You know, like
I posted
a picture of me on Instagram stories today of me in a chicken shirt, and it's just a blue shirt with chickens on it, and someone wrote, I love you, but please throw that away. And I was just like, thank you for the fashion advice.
Yeah,
but
fair.
That, you know, and she hearted it, and I was just like, But there's something kind of so special about it where, listen, she wasn't like trolling me or anything. She's looking out for you. I think she was being sweet. Like, yeah. I might say that to you, I'd be like, I love you, sweetie, but we're throwing that shirt away.
What do you think about my shirt?
And it was something like, there was something kind of nice about it.
Yeah,
when
for
I was
sure.
Just like, oh, this really is like an intimate connection that we're forming with it people, is. You know, yeah, for better or for worse.
But what about my shirt? I mean, what do you have thoughts
on? Well, I think you should throw it away.
I should throw it away.
Yeah, burn
okay.
it.
Okay. Then throw it away. On that note, Caitlin in our Facebook group asked, I haven't listened to this podcast since the first two or so episodes. Is it still as good as Martinis and Murder?
No.
So, Caitlin, I responded and I said I find the host very annoying on this show. I just thought this was such a funny question to, like, pose in the Facebook group.
I know, I really like it.
Well, I was like, and I love it too, by the way.
It may be, like, one of the more negative things you've ever gotten, but it's not even negative.
It's not even negative.
It's genuinely a question. Like, Caitlin, I'm not shouting you out. I'm just saying it's, like, our Facebook group is so nice.
That's what I was just going to say.
That everyone's like, just try it, do that. And so it's hilarious. And someone's like, is it as...
Yeah.
If you thought Eminem was good, I feel like you're going to like this. But I'm going to let the audience decide, because I don't really want to be one of those people that's like, we're great no matter what. Like... You might have liked Martinis and Murder more. I don't know.
Well, Emily Trudell in our Facebook group came to our defense and she said, why would you think it wasn't? Boo. And posted a picture of Christina Aguilera giving a thumbs down gif. Jamie Williams, a good friend of mine, said, just as good, if not better.
That's nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was funny. And by the way,
I mean, the hosts are annoying, but like, what do you want to do about that?
The hosts are so annoying.
They're just annoying.
But at this point, you just got to get used to them.
But do you want to know what? Do you want to know what, Caitlin, that I want to say to you? Is that the dogs are not annoying. So
the
technically,
dogs
I didn't have dogs, really, when I recorded Martinis and Murder, and now they're just angel babies.
They are angel babies. We should thank Megan.
Megan, as always, amazing research. We love you. I can't wait for you to ask me to be Hamburglar live. Because that's...
I just realized, oh my God, why didn't we invite Megan?
I don't know
tonight. What the fuck is wrong with us?
She lives in the town.
I know. I keep forgetting. She lives here now.
Well, to be fair, I didn't know about you even coming. Like,
I know.
Until, like,
I did
literally
it.
Yesterday.
Well, we'll talk about an NMR. I was trying to make it a thing. I'm a little tipsy from this drink, which I'm going to be recording. We're about to record NMR.
Let's
after
go do
this.
NMR right now.
And
thanks for listening to Shake and Disturb. Listen to NMR to hear John getting drunk, because we're also going to pop champagne. It's going to be wow.
And I just realized too, Darren.
We have an Instagram Live.
This is our, we have an Instagram Live coming up. This is our first in-person Shaken and Disturbed.
Yes, it is.
I didn't realize that, because we did
weird.
All this shit during a pandemic when we didn't see each other. But anyway, guys, thanks for listening.
We love you.
We love you. And more John and Darren live content coming to you very soon.
I hope so. Bye.
Right, bye.
2 luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.